that his company is always challenges that are growing and complex. Snap VP Jennifer Stout explained her company is committed to safe, healthy experiences for kids. A highly organized 3,000-person migrant caravan has left southern Mexico and is making its way to the U.S. border. Major Michael Perry with the Texas Military Department says they're gearing up to prevent another surge, like was seen in Del Rio, where Haitian nationals tried to claim asylum. A U.S. Army soldier is back in South Carolina from Germany to face murder charges. Police say Gene Alexander, or Alex Scott, was indicted last week in the murder of his grandfather and great-grandmother more than a year ago. Deputies in the northern part of the state had been called to a home in Richburg where the bodies of Gene Rogers and Billy Rogers were found. A man who drove a truck through a crowd of Black Lives Matter protesters in Southern California is being sentenced to a year behind bars for federal weapons crimes. In May, Benjamin Hung pled guilty to 11 felony charges, including illegally transporting firearms across state lines and possession of unregistered firearms. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
There are two outs in the bottom of the ninth. Base is loaded. The Seattle Mariners trail the LA Dodgers by 3 runs in Game 7 of the World Series. Who would you rather see step up to the plate? Mitch Haniger or a promising but yet untested player just called up from the minors? If Mitch Haniger is your choice, that means experience is important to you. That's what Voices of Experience with Paul Casey is all about. Tune in to Voices of Experience every Wednesday at 3 p.m. right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now for Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see more clouds and rain today. High temperatures around 52, 53 degrees. Tonight, the showers will taper off slightly, but still a wet evening. Low temperatures dropping down to about 49. For Wednesday, Thursday, and for Friday, more clouds and rain expected. High temperatures in mid to upper 50s. Those wind gusts will also continue through the week. 15 to 20 mile an hour gusts. We'll be on the lookout for those. Low temperatures all week in the upper 40s.
Do you make a positive difference in the world? Do you have a talent, philosophy, base of knowledge, product or service that you know could help a lot of people if only you could reach them? Join Alternative Talk 1150's family of broadcasters and start walking down a fruitful path as host of your very own program. Dial 425-653-1150 and find out just how affordable it can be to have a show on 1150 AM. That's 425-653-1150. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
Hi, this is Marilyn Milano. If you love animals, then please check out my new show, Love Has Many Faces, Tuesday from 9 to 9:30 a.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150. I'll be talking with rescue groups, animal advocates, and other organizations that help animals, sharing their stories and giving our listeners some tangible ways in which they can help make a difference. That's Love Has Many Faces, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150, raising awareness, touching hearts, and saving animals' lives.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat McFilley and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. It's great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you so much for all of that. We have a great show for you today, actually a great lineup. Last week, I think it was, Benny, last week we did a show based on the book of Brett Bevel joining me here today. And the book that I talked about in reference last week, along with sharing my own personal perspective about life around issues of racism, but also talking about a level of awareness, a new level of awareness. And the question always becomes for me is, how does our experience shape our awareness, or how does our awareness shape our experiences? And it's really that catch-22 chicken or egg question. So we're going to talk about a number of different things today, but today you're going to get to meet the author of the book, Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide. And so for those of you out there, you should know a little bit about who Brett is. And I introduced him last week, but he is a Reiki master, author of several books, and we also talked about Reiki. So this is going to be interesting, but you know, when we're looking at this, what are we talking about really? We're talking about energy. And when you think about this and what he wrote also, I think it was in The Wizard's Guide to Energy Healing. When you think about his life and what his life purpose is and what the messages are he's brought forward, either personally or through his books, you know, one of the things you realize is that if everything is energy, then why not the conversation about healing racism within? Why not have that conversation? And that's what today is about, is to take a look on what it means to have that journey in, you know, the psycho-spiritual world, right, meaning the psychologically slash spiritual world. Also, for those of you, the mind-body-spirit world, about everything. And is it sometimes that we are also afraid? Are we afraid to have conversations? You know, do we let our fear get in the way of us healing and having conversations to heal? Is that something that we do? And so this is a conversation that opens up the door. And you'll hear it from his perspective on what it is we need to learn, need to understand, and need to do. And it was interesting, Mr. Benny. Hi, Mr. Benny. I talked about this yesterday, but I was really blown away by a movie I saw. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to have to go back and see it again. Because what I realized about this movie over the weekend was that it was really quite spiritual. And it talked quite a bit about fear. And one of the things that we learned about fear and about Herbert's view on fear is it from so many of the quotes that are coming out of that movie. And, you know, what is it about the conversation about fear that stops us from healing racism, right? I bet you didn't think I was going to talk about that today. And so part of this is really understanding this. And so when you hear things from Frank Herbert that says, I must not fear, when you hear that, or then you hear loudly in the movie, fear is the mind killer, but then you don't hear the rest of the quote from the book. It is, you know, fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. And so now let's have a conversation about how all of that plays out and prevents us from facing our fear, prevents us from healing racism. Brett, it's so great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate being here. Thank you.
I want to start out with a conversation about your calling to bring this message forward, and you know what this means when we talk about the book Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide. And there's something that must have tapped you on the heart. Now, clearly, last week when I talked about this, I talked about my own personal experiences, and you know, growing up and how I grew up. But what about you? You know, what was it that captured you at a young age to have you come forward and write what some people might call a thought-provoking book, controversial book, but a book and a message that we need to be having a conversation about? Just saying.
Yeah. So thank you for asking that question. And I'll just be as transparent as I can be with that question. So I was born into a very dysfunctional household where you know, there were murderers and pedophiles, and I was very deeply abused as a child. And as I, after college, began actually working on myself, going to therapy and 12-step groups and then later into shamanic work and energy healing, I started to really notice that, many of the patterns that, existed in, my family around issues of abuse, such as the silence, the taboo of speaking truth, kind of the silent partner, people not really wanting to engage the topic, that I started to look at that, that was actually existing on a larger scale in our society around race, that the, same kind of taboos, the same kind of energetic structures seem to exist. Also, when I was a child, I also witnessed a race-based murder committed by a couple family members of mine. So that was also another trauma that I was working through and working to heal. In my own experience with this work, I found that, and again, I give a lot of credit to the therapists I saw, but for me, it was really when I got into energy healing that my own healing process began to profoundly accelerate. And so over the years, I've really thought, well, why not use those same tools to heal what happened in me in terms of, you know, what I call racist mindset or racist conditioning, the kind of hate or poison that had been, poured into me as a child. If I was able to use energy healing to release that in myself, why can't others in, society also use that to bring healing to that? And so for me, that's really the purpose of the book. And the purpose of the book even has a deeper level to it in the, sense that I remember when I was part of a workshop here at Omega Institute, it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and it was a shamanic workshop. I wasn't teaching it. It was just a workshop that I was attending. And in that workshop, the facilitator led something that he called a destiny retrieval. And I've heard of soul retrievals, but I've never heard of a destiny retrieval before. And in that workshop, it was a process where each person in the group journeyed to retrieve a destiny that was for somebody else in the, room. But we did that before we actually met that person. And what was interesting is when I finally met the person who had retrieved my destiny, what they kept talking about was a book that I was supposed to write. It was about racism. It was going to be very important to that conversation. And I literally got goosebumps on my skin as she was talking to me. And this was also around the same time as the murder of Eric Garner. And I had written an article that I thought was going to be published in a relatively big New Agey magazine. I'm not going to name their name. That originally was accepted, and then weeks later, for whatever reason, they then revoked their acceptance of that article. And so originally I thought it was just something related to that article, but as I sat more and more with it over time, I realized it needed to be something deeper, something more profound, something that actually offered tools for people to do this kind of work. So that was really the inspiration for the book.
And, you know, I talked about this a little bit because isn't it interesting? You and I have sort of a very similar background, not quite exactly the same, mm-hmm. but similar. And, you know, part of this led you on a pathway, you know, to not just become a spokesperson for energy healing, but actually to be a, you know, a phenomenal practitioner in this field because you've seen it work, right? You know, so, the thing that's really difficult if you're talking to people that have never seen the power of energy healing work is to convince them to try something. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned is, and I was one of the greatest skeptics on the planet till I got sick, right? All you need to do is get sick with a mystery disease, and then you're, you know, the point of desperation will have you try things. But what I love about this is we're now really seeing the power of what you just said and what you do in the world, which is ancient. It's ancient. Mm-hmm. And when I say ancient, I got an email about something I said on the show last week when I did this, when I talked about your book. And they wanted me to explain what I meant by a statement I made. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to comment on this as well when we come back from break. The statement I made was, how do we think we healed ourselves thousands of years ago? Like, I'm just going to go way back. Mm-hmm. How do we think as a species we didn't die off from every single thing we bumped into? What is it that literally brought our existence as humanity to where we are today. Because we didn't have what we have in the industrial realm. But what have we learned from that, and what have we not learned? When we come back, I want to talk with you about that, because if those methods and approaches can bring a species forward, humans, to the point where of our own destruction, but if it could bring us forward, that power of healing, why not heal racism? Why not heal misogyny? Why not heal that? You fill in your own blank. Why not heal abuse? Why not heal spiritual, psycho-spiritual wounding? Why not? When we come back, we're going to talk about that, healing racism within a lightworker's guide. And here's the question, everybody. Why not? When you watched the video, I know you watched it. I know you saw the George Floyd videos. I know. Like, how could you not? Like, everywhere. When you saw that, did your heart open? What happened? Did you have a level of something witnessing that you have not had before? But then where did you go to heal that? Where did you go? Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back with my very special guest, Brett Bevel, Healing Racism Within. We're taking your calls, 1-800-930-2819. We'll be right back.
Traits of ADD or ADHD, it can be hard to meet society's expectations of productivity when traditional approaches to time management and organization don't work for your unique brain. You need customized strategies. In the ADHD Self-Mastery Podcast with Bonnie Mengku, you get concise, actionable solutions to help you modify your approach and achieve your goals. Learn more about Bonnie at thrivewithadd.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more info.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, me, Yvonne, in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a copy with the universe tip. If you find yourself busy, day in and day out, yet never feel satisfied or fulfilled at the end of the day. See, we're taught by society that being busy means we are productive and successful. But most of us are busy doing things that aren't getting us any closer to our dreams, or that we don't even really care about in the first place. We then never feel a sense of purpose and completion at the end of the day. So the secret to shifting all this is being really honest with yourself about what you are doing and why, and using your mornings to set up your day for intentional action. My Morning Magic course can help you with this. Learn more at www.cwtu.net/morningmagic.
everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Healing Racism Within, a Lightworker's Guide. Brett Bevel joining me here today. And before we kind of go ahead and talk about the power of healing within, and not just talk about it from where we are in contemporary times, but also talk about what we've learned from it, from, you know, our ancient history. How do people get a copy of the book, Brett? How do they find out more about you? Because this is not the only book you've written.
So, you can order it the easiest way. You can order it off Amazon, but also I love to support local bookstores. So your local bookstore, if they don't have it, they can certainly order a copy from their distributor, so you can also explore it that way, or Barnes & Noble, or it's pretty available wherever you would like to look for it. So, and you can also learn more about me at my website, brettbevel.com.
Look, I want to just bring a conversation that goes back thousands and thousands, if not like way longer years than that, about what we learned early on as a civilization. And what we learned early on as a civilization is a completely holistic view of healing, right? The rituals may be different than the world we live in today, but we certainly learned about it. We learned about the power, let's say, of smoke. We learned about the power of essential oils. You know, we learn the power of herbs. We learn the power of hands-on, right? Hands-on healing, right? It's written everywhere. It doesn't matter what religion, what book you pick up. There's something about hands-on or something going on, and now we're forgetting. But it brings me to today. I've seen people next to me, walking through Central Park as a young teenager, and somebody jumping out of the, if you're in Central Park, you know there's a lot of places for people to hide, but jumping out and stabbing a friend of ours to death, the black kid, and not touching any of the rest of us. And there's stories upon stories upon stories like that. It's hard to imagine having healing conversations, especially with people so wounded. Matthew Shepard, young boy, Matthew Shepard. Hate is the destroyer of civilizations. People say it's money. People say it's greed. And I want to ask you, as we look at healing racism within, what is the journey that we must go on, Brett, to follow the pathway you're laying out for us?
So for me, again, I really love that you mentioned hatred, because I think that's the key. It's really looking at that hatred and finding ways to transmute it. And what my book offers, there are a number of ways that one can do that. So the primary mode that I explore in the book is energy healing, Reiki energy healing, which has been profound in my own healing journey. But there's also other techniques that the book explores. It explores even art therapy techniques. So in my own evolution in healing from sexual abuse, art therapy was a big part of that. So I involve art therapy techniques to really question so that you can really do what I call a racial self-portrait, where you can really see yourself. Where are you holding those issues? Maybe drawing your eyes closed if you're not willing to look at things, or maybe drawing your mouth in a strange way if there's things that you said in the past that were harmful to others around race. So really using images as kind of a Rorschach dot to take your temperature, so to speak, on where things are at for you in terms of the conversation around race. There's also Tonglen meditation and other meditative techniques to really use breathing to bring healing not only to ourselves but to others who may have been harmed, who are of a different color than ourselves. There's also affirmations and another technique that I call lofty questions. So there's a lot that the book offers in terms of ways that one can transmute that energetic signature of hatred. And again, I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because my theory and my belief and my experience is that energetic signature has been passed down in our culture from generation to generation to generation, even in those families which may openly display as being somehow very open-minded or seemingly not having any, you know, racist tendencies. Because in my own childhood, my parents were divorced and my father was openly very bigoted and racist. My mother was less so, but it was still there. That hatred was still there. It was just very masked. So I find that these tools and techniques are things that I really encourage people to explore, because it can really help not only uncover the hatred or the pain that has been passed on from one generation to the next, but it can also provide solutions mm-hmm. to really transmute that energetically and to really clear it out of our mental body, our emotional body, even our karmic body, even working on our ancestral lineage to really get clean of it. And it has been such an incredible healing journey for me, to begin, not only was I profoundly abused as a child, but I also witnessed a race-based murder. My father would often send me on fishing trips with a man who also bragged about killing a young black boy many years before. So I've known sort of the devil firsthand in this situation, and to be able to bring a certain level of healing to myself where, you know, I'm happily married in a multiracial marriage. I have a beautiful, amazing wife, a beautiful, amazing son. I'm known here at Omega for this loud, boisterous laugh I have. So I'm not somebody who feels like they're in a place of deep depression where theoretically I probably should be from the childhood I had. And so these techniques work. And so I you know, I really want to offer them to the world. And even though, you know, we don't often think of them as existing in these deeper social conversations, they really should be. And they really are profound ways to transmute that energy on a larger scale, starting individually and then bringing it out into our families, into our neighborhoods, and into our culture at large.
And, you know, I love that we're talking about this, too, because, you know, you go on to talk about the multifaceted nature of healing. One of them we do not talk about enough, and that is grief. We just do not talk about grief. And we always want to follow the Kubler-Ross version of this, which really has nothing to do with the living, right? I mean, like her whole deal had to do with the dying part, right? And we try to overlay that to try to, you know, impose a level of healing of what we can do in our everyday lives. And one of the things I was really struck by is, you know, you talk about the grief of witnessing. You know, I've talked about it from time to time. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until I got older did I realize what was really happening. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood kind of like you, the way you're describing yourself. And I shared this on a show. I asked my stepmom, why did you move us, many years later, why did you move us to Plainfield, New Jersey? You could have moved us anywhere in New Jersey. Why did you pick Plainfield? You know, one of the most diverse cities in New Jersey, really, where, you know, you look at the demographic. And I asked my mom about that. And she shared a little bit with me about it later. But even with that, you and I cannot know the depth of pain people of color experience. But as white people, we better take a look at ourselves within, because if we don't do that, like, we're just flapping at the mouth and talking about something we pretty much know nothing about. I mean, isn't this part of what you're bringing to the forefront? For us to take a look at this for ourselves. Because without the healing within, where do we go, right? Where do we go?
Right. Yeah, I'm really glad you're bringing this up. And again, for me, when I think it really hit me was, it was in 1999, I was doing a master's thesis that involved really looking in this question and doing some artwork around my grief and my pain around having witnessed a race-based murder as a toddler. And I was also mixing that with some Reiki in terms of doing a ritual performance for my master's thesis that involved, you know, poetry and also doing other ritual healing work and then attuning everybody in the audience to Reiki so that they could carry that light forward into the world. And when I began a few weeks later, reading those same poems at different open mics in the San Francisco Bay Area, which one would think of as being very liberal and open-minded, I actually was met with a real wall. I was blacklisted from certain poetry readings. People would start calling me a white trash poet. And so I realized, like, wow, even though this apparently open-minded group or seemingly open-minded group. Like, it was just like, we don't want to hear this. And it was a very clear message that, that caused me to take a deeper look just at our culture and like, well, in what ways have we grieved the pain and suffering of not only just slavery, but also the genocide of the Native Americans and the other things that have occurred in this country for the past 500 years. So what markers of ritual or healing have actually existed around that? And the answer is really very few. I mean, there's been some positive political progression and some positive social changes, but very little in terms of actually really looking at that energetic signature of hatred and that energetic signature of that pain and trauma and doing something about it and using, again, those same tools that we use in other ways in our life. Why not use those to address these issues around race?
You know what I love growing up in the 60s and 70s?
What
you just described right there, that was what it's like. I mean, can you imagine a time, and we'll talk about this when we come back, because it's to your point in the book. Your point in the book, raising your voice in more ways than one. See this right here, this nugget in Brett's book, this right here is what I've just been so overwhelmed with and trying to find an answer to. And just right there, it's like right here for me. I just don't understand it. And yet, it's not social media. It's not social media that's going to do it. That is not going to do it. That's not going to bring on this change because social media is instant gratification. You get a tweet, boom, there you go. You get something posted on it, boom, there you go. Maybe a Facebook, boom. But how is that creating a groundswell unless you belong to an organization? How is that a groundswell to raise your voice and take action? What did we learn in the past 2 years? What are the lessons, and how quickly did we forget? When we come back, we're going to talk about raising your voice in more ways than one. It's part of Brett's book. It's Healing Racism Within. And the question mark is, how far does ignorance really get us? How far, ladies, let me ask you the women out there for a minute, how much ignorance does it take for us to realize that we are losing our rights every day? Yes, I'm going to mention it again. Everybody's on my team's rolling their eyes. Here she goes. She's going to mention this thing again. Ladies, did you know that there was a bill on the Senate floor to give us equal pay? Did you know that this year? Like a thing that was going to like say, we got to get equal pay. Do you know it didn't pass in the Senate? Do you know that the government of the United States of America just said this year to us, you do not deserve to be paid equally? Now, if you're a white woman, you're probably thinking, I'm doing okay. But if you're not and you don't know about this, how do we raise our voices? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Are limitations holding you back from living a powerful and authentic life? Are you able to see yourself and others through a lens of empathy and compassion? Tune in to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, to discover how to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Second and fourth Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, YouTube, and across all podcast stations. I'm on a mission to inspire a shift in you, so together we can collectively heal the world. To learn more about me, visit RitikaRose.com. Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The truth is funny. This happens. With Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayante is the show for your soul. Damayante speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayante, the show for your soul with Sarah Maine, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you ever felt like if you just had the right tools and resources, you'd be able to carve a path for the life your heart is aching for? Guess what? You have everything you need inside you. I'm Natasha Ognedo, and I'm here to show you that your healing is in your hands. Tune into my show, Unlock the Healing Path, every second and fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about me and my work, visit NatashaOdnego.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Rhett Bevel joining me here today. The book is called Healing Racism Within. And there's so much in this book, and there's so much about the work you do. But before we roll on here, can you tell folks, one, how they get a copy of the book, but also how they find out more about you? Because, you know, for this next part, we're not just going to talk about, you know, raising your voice, but we're going to talk about how racism gets embedded in ourselves. You know, what does Harlan Mays call it? A tissue issue. But before we do that, how do we find out more about you and the many things that you do?
Sure. So you can find out at my website, which is brettbevel.com. Stuff about my books and also trainings that I lead. And then you can also get the book, again, pretty much anywhere that you would normally do your book shopping, whether that's Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or if you want to support your local bookstore, they should be able to order it from their distributor if they don't already have it on the shelves. So it's readily available, and please get a copy and begin doing this work, because I think our society as a whole really needs it.
Look, thank you for bringing the conversation to the forefront. And I love that, you know, you and I can do certain things and really get a lot of backlash from it, right? You know, I mean, I had a mentor tell me that if you're not getting feedback and backlash, you're not doing enough, Pat. But I want to talk with you about raising your voice. May I do this? Because
sure.
I just need to read this. I read this previously, but I want to read it again. White silence on the issue of racism is a big reason why it has been so hard to create long and lasting change. That is a mouthful. And it is so true. I talked before the break about, you know, what we've gone through. We talked about healing. We've talked about change that's sustainable. But the silence is deafening. And it is white silence.
Yeah. Right? Something that I've noticed in my, you know, in my own life, that even when there's times of a conflict, you know, whether it's at work or in your community, and just even noticing this question of, as a white person, I have the choice to speak out, right? Even in that choice, there's a certain privilege that I'm afforded that a person who's a person of color, it's not a choice for them. They're going to experience that reality regardless, right? But for me, just because that, oh, I have this choice to speak out or not. So for me, it's like we have to use that choice and speak out whenever possible, you know, whether it's about something that we experience in our family that has a racist connotation to it, something at work, something in our community, and also on the larger social scale. It means, you know, getting out and being vocal with your congressperson or your senator or your mayor or your governor. It means getting out and going to marches. It means getting out and voting and being a fully engaged citizen. So it's not just about doing the healing work within. That's important and that's essential. But it's also taking that energy out in an active way so that we are really actively participating in the changes that need to happen in our society.
Mm-hmm. So what was interesting is that, not to undermine or understate the effects of COVID-19, but one of the things that I was really, you know, wondering about is, you know, how we could forget what happened here, how we could forget, so easily forget. And, you know, George Floyd was the tip. George Floyd was a way for us to get the microphone in our hand and say something that people would pay attention to. That was, you know, the sacrifice of his death and the courage of a young woman that brought that to light. But here we are today. The silence is deafening. I don't even know how to say it differently. I don't know what else to say about it. You know, people say, well, Pat, you keep talking about this. What are you doing? What are you doing? I know what we're doing as a network. Just look at some of the shows we're bringing to the forefront. Yeah, just look at some of the shows. You know, listen to, you know, a couple of the shows that are going to be coming up that haven't played yet. You know, watch what we're doing as a network, because you're right. Talking about it's not enough. You know, what are we doing to, you know, have a show that's called Shifting Impressions and answering the Cairo question? What about that show? I don't know what to do about the silence, Brett, to be honest with you. I don't care how much education you have. We got to figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think, again, just encouraging each other and most importantly ourselves to speak up and speak out, even whether it's, you know, writing letters or going to a march or and just in a show such as this, speaking about things that are often just put in this taboo corner of our consciousness that we don't want to look at. And that, for me, I think that's been the biggest lesson in my own human journey, is how similar it is between family systems where there's any kind of incest or abuse going on, and how that almost exactly transpires with our larger social system with regards to race, that there's this huge taboo against speaking the truth of what's going on. It's just like, we're just not supposed to do it. And I think we have inherited that silence. I think that silence exists in our subconscious. I think that silence exists in the cells of our body. It's really as an energy healer, it's what I would consider to be part of the morphogenetic field of the last 500 years, right? Like, we just have been entrained generation after generation after generation not to want to look at this, because it's a horrible thing to look at. It's a painful thing to look at. And as human beings, we often don't want to look at things that are painful or horrible, especially if they have anything to do with our family or our extended family or our neighborhood or our culture. It's painful, but now's the time for us to really face that pain, because if we don't, then we're just going to be living in these kind of walled off places and not really doing the deeper work that we need to do to change this once and for all. Because my belief is that if we don't change that, then yeah, we might pass some progressive laws here and there, but that underlying angst of pain and suffering and anger and hatred that hasn't been addressed is never going to go away until we really look at it and start to deal with it.
You know, somebody asked me a question, a political question. No, I'm not going to run for any office. I just, like, that ship has sailed. So that's not going to be me. But they asked me a couple of questions, and I didn't have, I had an answer for it. And they said, you know, Pat, you're talking about, but what can we do? You know, what can we do? What can the government of today do? You know, with the Senate divided, the Congress divided. And I just said 3,721. I say, what? I said 3,721. They said, well, what's that number? I said, oh, that is the number of executive orders that Roosevelt signed, 3,721. 3,721 executive orders Roosevelt signed. And they said, Franklin, by the way, Franklin,
yeah.
Franklin D. Roosevelt. Then Teddy was close. He was like 1,000 or something. But I said, so there are things that, that people can do. But if you don't raise your voice and you don't say, hello, you know, number 46 in the White House or, you know, hello, like you can do something. But the question then becomes, how do we heal ourselves within so we know what to do? Let's go to the phones. We have a caller calling in. Benny, why don't we connect to our caller if we could?
Charlene, welcome to the show.
Hey, Charlene, what can we do for you?
I was just, it's just a really interesting show, and I was thinking to myself, you were talking about diversity and white people not, like, just staying quiet, and I won't stay quiet, and I am white, and I've been in the workplace where I work with thousands of people a day, mm-hmm. and I have coworkers I work with, and we're all mixed, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've observed where a Filipino man accuses an African woman of being racist. I've seen racism come from other cultures and be projected upon white people. So it's everywhere. And I know just from growing up, my mom was not prejudiced. She said, we're all one race, the human race. That's the way she raised me. And she was very spiritual. But my father had a hint of being racist. So I had that contrast to see which way I was going to go. And I have always, because my family is mixed. So, and basically the whole world is mixed right now. All our cultures are mixed. What are we fighting for? It's an illusion because the diversity in life is the spice of life. Our cultures are beautiful. We have some beautiful cultures, beautiful races. Why don't we embrace each other and learn from each other instead of division? I am on board with looking deeper within ourselves because I've done it for years, and I've observed, and sometimes I have absorbed and had to go deep within again and take a look at myself. So this is a really interesting book that has been written, and I'm just glad that you guys brought this to light.
Yeah, thank you, Charlene. Thank you for sharing that. And you know, it is a conversation that we're not having. We're not having it often enough. And who's the we? We're not having. I'm really talking about white people, right? I'm not talking about people of color or people from diverse cultures, right? I live in the Pacific Northwest, and I was appalled by what was happening to the Asian community here, just appalled at the amount of beatings and violence against the Asian community here in the Pacific Northwest. And I asked myself, where are the police? Like, okay, hello. Like, how do you have I play a sport, right? And so I have a lot of Asian friends because I play table tennis. So I know a little bit more about this. But the bottom line with this, Brett, is that how do you have an entire culture that is beaten and you are just like, where's that in the headlines? Like what? Like, so to your point, raising your voice in more ways than one, what are we to do now? That's my question for you. We've got to free our bodies of this tissue issue, of whatever that is that's in there. We got to free ourselves of that. But the silence, the lack of action, the, what is the word, you know, that I'm looking for when people just kind of like, ho-hum, I'm taking care of my life. What is that word? What is that word where you just...
being complicit in some way?
Complicit.
Yes.
And we're running out of time to do something. That's my sense of it. We're running out of time to do something. What is your sense of it from where you said you wrote the book? So let's hear from you.
Yeah. Well, so my sense is that as you do the work that's in the book, you become more aware of ways in which, again, we've been entrained as a white person to be complicit and not even see it as being complicit, right? I think that we don't even question certain behaviors in ourselves, right? I could say there's certain behaviors in myself that I previously didn't really question because I just didn't have any awareness because I wasn't willing to look at the mess that was inside of me regarding issues of race. And so in doing this work, becoming more self-aware of it, now I feel more confident speaking out. Now I feel more confident, really having this conversation that we're having right now. And even writing this book, I was terrified to write this book because I felt like I'm going to get some crap from it, from people, and I already have. And, but I just need to put it out there regardless. So I think it's really just raising that level of awareness internally. And then once you become aware of how consistent you've been, then you got to start to take action to end that by speaking out.
And, I want to get to the point that I made in the previous show, and it has to do with fear. Can we talk fear for a minute? I'm really struck by how fear and the idea of fear is coming up in our pop culture and coming up across the board in blockbuster movies. It's all over. It's all over the place. And yet we're not taking the lessons and bringing it introspectively. Although I will say that I was really in awe by Dune, the movie Dune, and I got to watch it again. My friends say you got to go to the movies to watch it, but you know what? The message is powerful. Because the litany in that movie was, I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it is gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. See that? The inner eye to see its path. Where the fear is gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. Fear is underneath what we're seeing now in this country. We are afraid that they will get what I have, that they will somehow impact me. And we're feeding this fear, aren't we?
And we are. And I feel that, one of the things that I liked about the book is there's a technique where you can work with what I call the Reiki crystal, which is an energetic crystal that allows you to easily do certain Reiki techniques that traditionally sometimes not even be possible with traditional Reiki. And one of the things you can do with that Reiki crystal is you can bring it into different Reiki, what I call Reiki meditations, where that divine consciousness that's in the energy can literally bring your consciousness into certain states of awareness. So in the book, I talk about using that in one way, just to see your blind spots and the areas that you do need to work, but also using it to find a place of courage within yourself. And for me, that's essential to combating the sense of complicity and silence, is to really activate that sense of courage that exists in all of us if we're willing to look for it and find it and take action from it. But the book offers that, and so I really encourage those of you who do get the book, really, really do that work with the Reiki crystal to find that sense of courage to speak out, because again, even just looking in my own personal history, it was when I started speaking out about the things that I had experienced as a child, even in terms of just the sexual abuse, not even getting into the racial aspect of it, that's when the real healing began, was I was finally able to give voice to what the truth was. Mm-hmm. And the truth will set you free if you can really speak it.
And you also talk about the Maharishi effect, too. You also talk about something, and I was joking when I said this about growing up in the era that I grew up in, because we're infused with this. The idea of, sending mantra and prayer to the entire world, to the global world. We now know that there is science to support this. So you and I are just not talking chit-chat now.
Yeah.
Like back then, there was no science, right?
Yeah.
Now we know the science of vibrational energy and healing. But the idea of Reiki and Reiki crystal, and we know the power of crystals. I mean, we do know it. how do we begin to heal ourselves? The book is a guide for that. The book is a guide for that. I want to ask you in the few minutes we have left, what's your vision? Where does Brett go now? And yes, you will get backlash from writing a book like this.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's interesting. There's three things I want to mention that were very clear to me growing up. Different visions I had, if you want to say that. One was, I remember writing a paper in high school that talked about how eventually film and music would be much more accessible for people to create, right? And this was like in the 70s when I wrote this paper in high school. And I think I was just seeing things like, you know, the technology would evolve where anyone could make their own little movie or record their thing. And now we can do that with the technology we have. I also then, in my first years of college, I remember writing a paper. It was a political science class that was about the Soviet Union. I remember writing this paper that I turned in to my professor about how the Soviet Union would eventually dissolve sort of peacefully when in its own way. I got a B- on the paper, but I remember, you know, about, you know, 7 or 8 years later after I wrote that paper, that occurred. And one of the things that was always constantly with me kind of through this thread was that one day, I don't know if it'll be 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, but that one day we will do this inner work that's required, and we will be able to embrace this sense of the Maharishi effect in terms of us radiating our light out to the greater whole of society in a way that does bring transformational change. So I do believe that it will happen, probably not overnight, but I do believe it will happen, and I really feel like I'm dedicating my work towards trying to help see that happen, trying to help raise that awareness in others. And part of that, too, is because I am married to a woman of color, and my son is, you know, he's half white, but the other half of him is not white. And so I even, you know, see him encountering these issues, even though he's only 6 years old. So I want to change the world and make it a better place for him.
Yeah. And look at, as individuals, sometimes we don't think that we have the power to create change. You know, we talk about something the way you and I are talking about it today, and we sometimes see the challenge overwhelming and daunting. But the thing that you bring to the forefront in your book and your message is that with the smallest of light, a matchbook stick, it can shift the darkness beyond our imagination. And I think you're giving us the tools to do that. Brett, thank you so much. How do people get a copy of your book? How do they find out more about you? And thank you for what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your show. And people can find out more about me at my website, brettbevel.com. That's BrettBevell.com. And they can get my book on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Also, I always like to support local bookstores. So if you want to go to your local bookstore, if they don't have it on the shelf, you can let them know about it and have them order you a copy. So please do, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts about the book, too. Anybody who's in the audience, if you have a question or message for me, I'm pretty responsive on Facebook. Also, through my website, there's a contact the office page if you want to send me a question or just send me your thoughts. I try to be pretty proactive and get back in touch with people.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Tuesday to you. Betty Mather's here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the South. On I-5 southbound near the off-ramp to State Route 516, a disabled vehicle partially blocked at the ramp. King County Sheriff has arrived on the scene to take care of that disabled vehicle. Also, I-5 northbound just south of South 188th Street around Mile Post 152, a collision partially blocking the HOV lane in that area. Good thing though, also King County Sheriff is also on that scene. take care of the collision. We appreciate King County Sheriff's Department in handling both of those situations. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's Forging a Life with Coach Christine. Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Big social media companies are again under the microscope over the impacts of their platforms on kids.
You cannot trust big tech with your kids.
Connecticut Democrat Richard Blumenthal opened a Senate hearing and said kids are often led down dark rabbit holes on social media guided by algorithms. TikTok VP Michael Beckerman cited strong parental controls and said his company is always looking to improve. He said daily challenges on social media are growing and complex. An FDA panel is considering today whether to recommend the Pfizer vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11. If the panel greenlights the COVID vaccine, the full FDA will consider it next, followed by the CDC. Meanwhile, Moderna says it will submit its kids' dose data to regulators soon. Police in Florida are admitting mistakes were made in the search for Brian Laundrie. Rick Hoschel reports.
A Northport police spokesperson says that while watching the Laundrie home, they saw Brian leave on September 13th. They thought they saw him return 2 days later, but it was really his mom. Police say they mistook the two because they have a similar build, and Brian's mother was wearing a baseball cap when she returned home. The spokesperson tells Wink News it was only when the family reported Brian missing 2 days later on September 17th that they realized their mistake.
Several former Trump administration staffers are reportedly talking with the House committee investigating the January 6th Capitol attack. CNN says at least five former staffers have voluntarily taken part in discussions with the panel. It's seeking information about the actions of former President Trump and his allies in the lead-up to the attack. Americans are feeling better about the economy. The Consumer Board says its Consumer Confidence Index climbed 4 points in October, reversing a three-month downward trend. The rebound surprised analysts who had expected a decline. The board noted an uptick in the number of consumers planning to purchase homes, cars, and major appliances this month. The University of Michigan will release its final reading on consumer sentiment for October on Friday. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents.
Don't you just love the smell of old books?
This is a library.
Sorry, ma'am. We're looking for a book titled Liberty Mutual Customizes Your Car Insurance so you only pay for what you need.
I don't think we carry that, but just nonfiction.
It really does devour literature.
Please leave.
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice. Be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Forging a Life, Beyond the Curve, calling in your unique destiny with Coach Christine Clark. Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your very being is softened by fire as you take hits that shape you. Christine is a transformational life coach dedicated to empowering entrepreneurs to create a whole life success on their terms. On this show, you will be forged into a magnificent, powerful, highly functional work of art that is your significant life. Now, here's your host, Christine Clark.
Join me, Coach Christine Clark, as we forge our lives. We are going to go beyond the curve and call in your unique destiny. Who will you be when you believe you have what it takes? Well, hello, hello. This is Coach Christine Clark, and this is Forging a Life, going beyond the curve and calling in your unique destiny. I am excited and delighted to be with you today. Thank you all for listening and being here. I am here every fourth Tuesday, and my next show on November 23rd, I will be joined by my friend and colleague, Coach Sean Smith, and we're going to deep dive into the rough waters of that shifting parent-child relationship, you know, when the kids leave home and they move out into the world, pride and pain and nurturing and loneliness, you know, they collide as we navigate that necessary evolution of
the most primary of all of our relationships. And that'll be on November 23rd, right here at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us next month for that. During this show, I am giving away a free laser coaching program. Give me your name, your email address, and your phone number, and you'll be in the drawing. Send all that to ForgingALifeWithCoachChristine@gmail.com or call in during the show at 1-800-930-2819 with all that information, put your name in. And, you know, why would you want to have, you know, a multiple session laser coaching program? Well, what if you're taking care of an elderly parent? And as the needs continue to grow, the time constraint on your life gets to a point of irritation, or it's just hard to manage, or there's overwhelm. And making that decision, you know, when do I hire help? When do we have to move my parent into some sort of care? You know, four sessions would walk you through what's important to you, what's important for your parent, and to give you clarity and surety on making those huge decisions. That would be a great use of the laser coaching program. Or maybe you're like a gal I talked with just a couple weeks ago. She was all wound up trying to decide, what is my niche? How do I decide what is a viable opportunity as I move forward in my business? How do I decide, do I go with the experience I've had through my life, or am I going to jump into something that's new and different but excites my heart? In four laser coaching sessions, you would have that clarity, know your niche, and be able to move forward in what you want. So those are just some examples. Call in, give us your information, put yourself in the drawing. If there's that big life piece you want to shift, that laser coaching program, absolutely totally free, would be perfect for you. There's some images we're using today that came off of Unsplash, so shout out to Jenny Hill and Norwood Themes. Thank you for the use of your photos. They are lovely. So, you know, are you watching others excel and wondering, why not me? Have you ever thought, you know, I must be missing something? You know, is there this piece that others know about that I don't know about? Well, have you ever asked, what's wrong with me? You know, first of all, there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. And today we're going to uncover just some of the pieces of what gets looked over and some of those pieces that we don't always necessarily recognize as those pieces that can move us forward. So first of all, I want to talk to you about the gap. The gap is the difference between what we know and what we're doing. And I have a great friend, a brilliant woman. Her name is Tasha. And she took 12 years to get her bachelor's degree. And the reason that took so long is because she stepped into the education, and where she was working, they said, oh, you're doing an amazing job. We want to give you more money. So she quit the education and worked for the more money and eventually decided that maybe this isn't what I want to be doing. And so she would go back and work on the degree to start getting that degree to be able to put herself in a different level. And then someone would come along and go, man, you're amazing. Come over here and work for us for this much money. And so she'd go chase the money and work. And after a while, like the hours were long and it wasn't what you wanted to be spending. She had a girl, a child, and wanted to spend more time with her. So she went back to the education so she could get that 9-to-5. And that back and forth swing is something that a lot of us do when we're in business, when things are going along, and we've been, you know, it's like, we're looking at what we're doing, and then we decide, maybe this isn't right. Maybe I need to do. So I want to go get more education. So I go get another certificate and get some more information under my belt so then I can excel. And then you go back to work, and it becomes a cycle. But in the gap, rarely is it what we no is not the problem. We have plenty of knowledge. We have plenty of skills. We have plenty of acumen. But we're looking at this saying I'm not getting to the happiness, the abundance, the consistency, the growth that I want. And so I need more knowledge. I need more information. Now, the gap is that space between what we knowledge we have and what we're actually doing or the outcomes we're getting. And in that is where we fall down. The gap shows up by not prioritizing, by delaying what we want to be doing, what's important to us. And so that shows up in my own experience. I am putting together a studio in my home to give me some bigger options to be able to throw in more energy, have more content, work with whiteboards as I present, and to put things up on YouTube to share with the world. And I am passionate and excited about the prospect of doing that. But I will be honest with you, that studio has been an idea for 2 years. And now I've been working on making it, putting it together for almost another full year. And it's because I'm not making it an absolute priority. The work of painting the walls and redoing the ceiling and changing the room seems like it's busy work, and that my work, I could be better off doing business-related things, and I'm not getting to it. It's part of the sabotage of that gap. And we come up with sexy excuses, you know, busy and not doing the things that we need to be doing. Sometimes it's easier to go clean the house than it is to pick up that phone and make those outreach calls. So we fall into the gap by our perception that the outcomes that we're getting are wrong, that the speed and progress of our success is not big enough or not fast enough. And then we get into the cycle of wanting to go back and get more education or learn something new. And rather than understand that we have all the knowledge and everything that we need and that we want. So to bridge the gap, really what you want to be able to do is stay in motion long enough to get the hands-on experience, to be able to glean from the doing, not just the knowledge, but that we can get there by what we're doing. So often that perception of not enough is created because we see somebody else be wonderfully successful. One person in our industry made $1 million in their first year. And so in the first week we're working our business and we make $500. Then the next week we make $1,000. And then the next month we have a $2,000 week. And we're thinking we're never going to get to that $1 million mark. We're failing. We need to go back and learn something more. And the truth is that if you look at the progress you're making, you're doing just fine. The perception of not enough is invalid. And when you stay in the work long enough, you're going to get there. And that's how you bridge the gap. That's what we want to be able to do. So when we come back, I'm going to be taking a break here, and we're going to talk about the stories in our heads, the things that we come up with when we're not actually paying attention to what our brain is creating for ourselves. I am Coach Christine Clark. My company is SunGlow Transformation. You can find me on the internet at sunglowtransformation.com. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn at SunGlow Transformation. Please go ahead and share your information by email to Forge Your Life with Coach Christine to get yourself in that drawing for that fabulous laser coaching program. And we will be right back here after a short break.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today. You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concerns. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days, naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center, 425-451-0404. Or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out. But we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife, with me, Susan Dolce,
and me, Leon Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com and LeonDyer.com.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Hey, this is Coach Christine Clark, and we are back with Going Beyond the Curve, Calling In Your Unique Destiny. And we're going to talk a little bit about stories. That's one of those pieces that we miss that really can sabotage us. It's what that inner voice comes up with when we're not paying attention. You know, we make up stories about absolutely everything. Like I remember when I was back in direct sales, part of the process was the work that we were doing was you would confirm your events, you would confirm your parties. It was a very professional thing to do, to call up and get the names of the guests that are going to come, contact them, find out about their needs, wants, and desires. So when you actually got to the event, everybody would have this right stuff to play with and try and test out. And it was a really solid business idea. And for me, it was excruciating because the story in my head was that I was being pushy. The story in my head was that they didn't want to take the time to have me find out about them in advance of the event. And I would struggle with that because the story in my head was that I was being pushy, that I was not being professional. I didn't see the professionality in it. And we do this all the time. We make up stories in our heads about what things mean. And it can get us in trouble. Now, our stories have an origin. Our socialization since birth and the assumptions we made before we had any reference to ourselves or the world, and we come up with who we are and what things are acceptable or not acceptable. And in addition to that, our mind is a meaning-making machine. No matter what's going on around us, it's clicking through and making things mean things. Let's figure this out. What does this mean? And you take that meaning-making machine, you take the socialization and assumptions and things that were created before we even had reference, and then you throw in this last piece that we are highly prone to seek fault with ourselves. And there you've got the recipe to make stories up, because we will decide. When was the last time someone didn't get back to you. You called them and left a message, or you sent a text, whether it was a good friend or a business associate or a family member, and they didn't respond. Now, in your head, are we saying they love us so much and we are so important to them that they're a little bit busy and they want to wait until they give us their full time and attention? Or is the story we make up like they're mad at us, there's something wrong, I am rude, they think I'm rude, they think I'm pushy, they think there's something wrong with us, they, you know, they're too busy, I'm not worth their time? Those are the stories we make up. And that's part of what gets in our way, is these stories. Now, visibility, which is very required in business and to show up in the world, is matched by vulnerability. And when we get really, really visible, we can also be very, very vulnerable. And when I did my very first solo show here with Transformation Talk Radio, I practiced, I did the whole hour, and right after that, and for the next 2 days after the show, I was crushed. I was so afraid that everything had gone wrong, that people heard nothing but gibberish, and it really tore me up until I went back and actually listened to the show 3 days later, but, oh, that wasn't so bad. But because I was being very visible, then we have this reaction of our vulnerability shows up, and the stories we create in our head over that is that, oh, we're, everybody hates us, or we didn't show up well, and it really can mess with us. So what I want you to understand about these stories we make up is the first piece is there is no evidence. We create the stories on the fly. Our brain provides them for us, and there's no evidence that the stories are true or real. And these stories can convince us to stop, to quit doing what we're doing, to give up, to go back inside our comfort zone. And when you can recognize that this is just something that my brain is creating, because your brain is a meaning-making machine and it wants to make meaning of this, and we're vulnerable, and the stories we make up about ourselves are not very empowering. But when you recognize it, it's a story, then you can rewrite the story. Write yourself a new story. Go with the story that says, I am amazing. Go with the story that says, what I have to say is valuable. The fact that I show up is brave, and that the people that are going to get me are going to get me, and the people that are not, it's okay. I wasn't their person, and that's fine. When you can be able to recreate the stories, first by recognizing that this is just something that happens, take a step back, rewrite it, then you are managing it. One of those pieces that can get in the way of us having the fulfillment and the success that we want. It's just by managing the story and going ahead and writing yourself a new story. Then I want to talk to you about our inner child, our what I call the inner hooligan. Now, this is your subconscious. And if you think about the iceberg, our conscious self is the 10% above the water with our language and our behaviors. And underneath the water is 90% of us, which is our core values and our drivers and our beliefs and all of that. And the subconscious comes from that 90%. And that inner child subconscious has its own way of operating. And when you understand how that subconscious, that inner child hooligan operates, then it's easier to manage and easier to have it bring to you and create the success you want and have the relationships you want. But it has its own set of rules. First of all, that inner child believes you implicitly, you know, just like a three-year-old child. So it doesn't matter whether you are trash-talking yourself or if you are singing praises. It believes you. So when you are saying, boy, I am no good at this, I will never succeed, the child's saying, okay, it's fine, And if you say, I am fantastic, I am going to rule the world, the inner child goes, awesome, let's do that. It believes you implicitly. So what you are saying in your head guides that inner three-year-old to support you. But you got to pay attention to what are you asking it to support you for. The next thing is that your three-year-old child wants to have fun and it wants to win. I remember several years ago I was coaching with this fantastic gal out in Seattle. I had hired her as my coach, and I was telling her how I was just not being able to focus at work. I was spinning out. I was not getting anything done, and I didn't have clarity on my action steps, and I just didn't know what was going on. And she asked me, she says, how long has it been since, like, you took time off, took a vacation? It's like, it's been almost a year. And it's like, oh, I needed some time off. And when I did that, I took some time off, I came back refreshed, I came back focused and excited. But my inner child was wanting to have fun, and I had starved it for fun for so long that it was blocking everything that was desiring that I wanted to do, because it was like, let's get out of here and let's give ourselves a break. And so that's part of how your inner child works. It also has the highest priority of protecting you. A long time ago, your inner child, your subconscious protected you from saber-toothed tigers and wolves. We only have two innate fears. One is falling, and the other was loud noises. So when that tiger roars, we can run the other way. But our subconscious also wants to protect us from emotional pain, from stress, from frustration, from sadness. And so when you are really in the work, you're stepping outside your comfort zone, and it is hard and it is stressful and you can get frustrated and you get bumped around and knocked around a little bit, and it's not fun, it's hurtful, your subconscious can go, oh no, let's protect you, let's pull you back inside the comfort zone, let's not let you grow, you don't need to grow, you don't need to expand, you don't need to call in your destiny, let's just forget all that because it's too much. And you can talk to your inner child, talk to that hooligan and say, look, my destiny is outside the comfort zone. And yes, it's frustrating. And yes, I'm going to deal with sadness. I'm going to take some hits. But I've got this. I can make this. It's not that bad. We're going to learn from it. We're going to grow from it. And when you can get excited about the possibility in your own growth, then your inner child is going to hear that and say, okay, let's go. It depends on what we're feeding ourselves for the responses that we get. And when you can manage that inner hooligan, that inner child, then you have so much more to grow from, so much more to expand with, and so much more power to call in and create what you want to create and have and do and be. One of the next things I want to talk about is our mistakes. That, you know, we all learn from our mistakes, but when we're in it, when we are in the mistakes, there's a process that we go through, and we're in shame and we're in guilt. And when we come back from our next break, I'm going to talk about what it takes to actually glean and learn from our mistakes. It's so easy to say, oh, learn from your mistakes. But, you know, when you've made a mistake and you're in that embarrassment, shame, and guilt, it can be really difficult to find the good, find that silver lining. So when we come back from our break, we're going to cover that and talk about that. I am Coach Christine Clark. My company is Sunglow Transformation. You can find me on the web at sunglowtransformation.com. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sunglow Transformation. Remember to put your name in for that laser coaching program that can move you forward in a section of your life. Send your information, name, email address, and phone number to Forging a Life with Coach Christine at Gmail. And we'll be right back here after just this next break. Mm-hmm.
heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth Is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Who taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis, and I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why Is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to MentallyTalkWomen.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
This is Coach Christine Clark. We are Forging a Life, calling in our unique destiny. And we're talking about mistakes. And, you know, there's a good thing. You know, you'll learn from your mistakes. And that is true. That is one of the most inherent ways that we grow is by making mistakes, by falling down, getting ourselves back up. And yet learning the lessons, being able to pull out the good part of it is difficult when we are in it, when we are embarrassed, when we have shame, when we have guilt, when we have just really screwed up and that internal self is just beating ourselves up. Really, really badly. So I want to talk about how to navigate that, how to make, you know, change the mistakes. Because sometimes the stuff that we have mistakes on are small potatoes. Like there is one of the guys in our local chamber of commerce that I attend who, his name escapes me. And I for the life of me, cannot remember his name, even though I have seen him again and again and again and again, because he is at almost every event. And it was like really bothering me that I couldn't come up and keep this guy's name to be able to say, hey. And I went looking. And I looked up his company to About Us and see if I could find it. And the person I thought it might be, there wasn't a photo to go with the name. So it's like, oh, shoot. Went at LinkedIn, same thing. Saw the person I thought it might be. There wasn't a photo to go with the name. So had to just figure it out, that I'll have to just ask him or write it down. But those little things can really suck up some self-confidence when we can't do that. But then there's the big things. There are, sometimes we make some choices that really set us back and that carry a lot more weight, a lot more emotion, and can really drag us down. It's interesting to me that over the last year, I had three different clients that I coached with, coached through their emotional regret over having made a big purchase. All three of them happened to have been in, not the same, but different big personal development webinars where they plugged in, got a lot of good mojo, and in the moment of the excitement and the energy and the emotion, they opted in to buy some really big programs, spend a lot of money, and then later had put themselves behind the eight ball, either financially a little bit stressed and strained, or they weren't getting the out of it what they were expecting. And it was just very interesting to me. I just happened to be in the atmosphere over the last 12, 15 months, and I ended up coaching three different people through their choices at the time, where they were at, what they could do forward, and to solve that emotional piece, that regret, that piece that was beating themselves up and making it very difficult to navigate and move forward. Because our ego wants so much to salt the wounds with ridicule. It will, when we get into this position where we've made an error, where we have not had the outcomes we want, when we've fallen down and we're at that point to get back up, and our ego will just say, you know, what a stupid so-and-so I was, and how could I have possibly done that, and what was I thinking, and we shame and blame and wind or, you know, push ourselves down to the point where we can withdraw and we can just say never again. But to really pull out the lesson, to really able to glean what is there for us, because there is huge stuff in every mistake we make, that's where the real growth comes from. But first you have to process the emotion. You have to allow yourself to feel that to its depths, that that I made a mistake, I screwed up, oh, that doesn't feel good. But allow it. Allow it to come through your body so that you can release it. And when you have done that, then you can take the next step. And the next step is grace. To be able to understand that you are doing the best you can with the information and the knowledge that you had, and you made a choice that in the moment served you, and that was doing the best you can. Having that grace, recognizing that your motives were good, that you were doing the best you can, you had understanding and knowledge that you had, yay, okay. So the outcome wasn't what I wanted it to be. What is here for me to learn? And when you can process the emotion, when you can allow yourself to recognize the good and the solid ground that you were coming from when you made the decision, then you can open yourself up to see the lesson, to learn. For these people, two of my clients had decided that whenever they're in that situation again, whenever they've plugged into a webinar where there is great self-development and programs offered, that they're going to wait at least a full 24 hours to 48 hours before they make a decision. Stepping back out of that pool, out of that aquarium where they're swimming with all this good stuff, step outside, look at the aquarium, watch the fish swimming around in there, and then decide, Is it good for me to step back into that? Is that really what I want to do? How will that serve me? What will it cost me? How can I navigate that? And that's part of learning the lessons from your mistakes. So that's one of the pieces that can help move us forward. It's one of the elements that really can elevate our growth. The next piece I want to talk to you about is commitment. You know, commitment is that emotionally impelling excitement that can push us forward, draw us forward to really go for what we want to do, go for our goals, call in that destiny, dream the dream. And really commitment to what you want to create is absolutely necessary to get there, because if you don't get committed, then you are simply choosing to commit to mediocrity, commit to staying right where you're at, and that's not what you want to do. So there's some pieces about how to actually get committed and some of the mistakes that we make. Now, one of the mistakes that we make with commitment is it's an intellectual or ego-driven goal, like staying together for the children. That is wanting to look good to the neighbors. That is a fear that the children can't have the resilience to navigate the parents separating, and it's an intellect, you know, that it's better for children to live with parents that are disconnected and dysfunctional than it is to allow them to separate and find something different. When you set your goal to have the money, to have a house, to have that car, to have that promotion, to be in the million-dollar circle, that's an intellectual, ego-driven desire. And that inner self that we talked about, that inner child hooligan, she doesn't give a hoot about tangible rewards ever. So in order to manage that, you want to have congruence. Your goals have to be congruent with your values, with your purpose, with your beliefs. And when you are making goals and moving forward, something that really enhances what your life is about, what's your purpose, how do you want to serve the world, what moves you at a deep level, then those are the choices you want to make. Congruence of your goal has to match up with your values, with your purpose, with your beliefs. Also, one of the things that gets in the way of fully commitment is that the goals are vague or they're a long distance off. We use soft and squishy terms like I want more, I want more money, or I want less stress, I want some connection. And the thing about more, less, some, is they're very soft. There's no real clarity. And without clarity, there's nothing for your emotion, for your subconscious to latch onto, to have that commitment. Sometimes the pitfall is that I don't want this. So instead of talking in terms about what we do want with clarity, that we talk about what we don't want. Let's say there's somebody that if you're looking for a relationship and you're out there and you're dating and you get into a relationship and the person that you're in relationship is a little bit verbally abusive, so like, this is not working. So you'd say, okay, I don't want somebody abusive. So your subconscious says, okay, well, we'll find somebody not abusive. The next person you find is emotionally unavailable. They're just not attached at all. It's like, that's not working. So let's break up with this person. Let's go find somebody. Say, I don't want somebody. I want somebody that's not verbally abusive. I want somebody who is emotionally available. Okay, great. So the next person we find is a little bit needy, a little bit clingy. It's like, I don't have room to breathe. And what your subconscious keeps bringing you is exactly what you ask for, but you're not asking for clarity. When you think about looking up into the night sky, beautiful, clear, all kinds of stars out there, and you think, I don't want the star that's on the corner of the Big Dipper. Great. You have only a few billion other choices. So what you want to be able to do is make concrete statements about what you want using definite terms. You want clarity. You have to say who, what, when, where, why, how. Not that I just want some more money. I would like to make X amount in a month. That's a definite term. And who am I going to work with? These are my clients. I'm going to reach out to so many clients every week to build my business. when you can get the clarity by stating specifically what you do want using concrete terms, and then you can break it down and backwards engineer it. Set a 3-year goal. Decide what has to happen by the time you're through 2 years, then back it up to 1 year, then back it up to 6 months, and then you can back it up to what your monthly activity is. Giving yourself that clarity is one of the things that can really drive commitment, drive excitement for what you're creating. One of the other things that get in the way of really having commitment is that we desire or have a goal that is not within our control. When you say that you are going to have X new associates this week, or have, like back when I was in direct sales, we would do how many parties or how many events I'm going to do in a week. I would say, okay, I'm going to do a 10-event week. Great. The 10-event week requires people to say yes and to show up. So you set the goal, but you don't really have much control in the goal. When you break it down into what you have control over, you have control over how many people you reach out to, how many contacts you made, phone call, text, how many invitations you sent. Because when you do that, set your goal in how many invitations you're going to send, how many times you're going to follow up with people, those things you have control over, and then you can get to where you want to go. But when you put your goals fully and 100% on outcomes that you don't necessarily control, because you have to invite people to come and play with you and want your services and want your product, then you are setting yourself up for some sabotage, because you are choosing to have all your eggs in someone else's basket. Take the eggs back into your own basket and set your sights and your goals on these things that you can control and do on a daily and weekly basis. That drives your commitment, because you can be committed about something that you're excited about and that is specific. Also, you want to be able to have charge. Charge is the emotion that goes with the excitement, that feeling of pride, that satisfaction, that confidence, that joy, that love that we have when we have attained the goal, when we have that emotion to go with what we are seeking, what we are wanting to create, then there is commitment is just like lit and gets to move forward. You have to have the emotion and the excitement to be able to drive commitment forward. So that's kind of commitment, and it is a big part of being able to create your destiny, call in what you want, and to be committed. So hopefully those are things that will make sense to you and resonate. The other part of being able to really move things forward for yourself is develop consistency, because it is so much easier to keep the fire burning by continually adding twigs and small branches, feeding the flames, than it is to rebuild the fire from cold ashes. So we want to stop watering down your fire. You know, if you're watering flowers to grow flowers, water's great. But if you're building a fire and if you're going strong, then we want to just keep rolling with that. So in order to have the consistency, you have to be able to be putting in small bits, small bits, small bits, and continuing to work with that fire and keep it going, because it's easier. It takes less time to manage and create. And so it takes repeated effort in the form of new operating. So what are the pieces that keep your fire going? To have consistency, we want to be able to do those things that are great, to keep you running, to keep you going. in direct sales, it was making outreaches on a daily basis. You have to make the phone calls. And coaching, I sit down and have conversations with my people. Networking is essential to be able to learn about people and their businesses and share information with them, build those relationships. Those are the things that happen on a consistent daily and weekly basis. And when those are happening, then those are those little pieces, those twigs that are going in and feeding that fire to keep the fire going and lets it continue to burn. And that is the consistency. Now, in our humanness, we often want to start something new, add in a new piece for our own personal growth. And we want to go from 0 to 60 in 5.2 seconds because we want to be able to say, hey, this is brand new. This will be great. Let's do it. We put it in. Boom, we want to go. And it's this perfectionism. And yet we are stepping into this new thing expecting perfect. And perfection doesn't happen. The new habit doesn't take hold. So we decide that it's not working, or we do it for a couple of days, and then we don't do it for 2 weeks, and then we bring it back, and we think, I'm failing. You know, I'm no good. I'm zero. What I want you to understand is that consistency is built, so you don't poo-poo the progress. Appreciate the small advances. The commitment to keep trying is bigger than the actual action itself. So let's say your new wonderful thing is fitness. And so we just want to roll forward and start something new. We're going to do jogging every day. And this is a really important piece. I'm going to just keep walking right through the break. So we'll continue on and we'll finish up in a little bit. So when you want to start jogging, let's say you go out and you jog one day, and the goal is, of course, 0 to 60, right, in 5.2 seconds. So we want to jog every single day, and voila, we have perfection. The problem is that the next day there's a little bit of pain. Kid has to, you know, take the car into the shop, get the oil changed. Things get in the way, and we didn't do what we were going to do. And so we think, I'm no good. But if you've never jogged in the last year and you jogged once, you have made progress. So the appreciation for that small step is taking the twig and feeding the fire. Come back the next day and then work. How many times this week can we jog? Well, if we jog twice, yay, we have made progress. Same with anything that you put in. The habit has to be repeated effort to put it in, allow for life to just run, and then pick it up again. I was in a conference just a couple weeks ago, and someone had asked a question of the presenter that she had a great routine with doing some meditation, doing some yoga, and when she did these things that she really felt great, but that she wanted to be doing them every day and she wasn't doing them every day, and what was wrong? That's what we ask. We ask, what's wrong? Because I'm not perfect. There's nothing wrong. The fact is, we have to have grace for what is and hold the intention and come back and try again. Because as you do that, then you will get from once a week to twice a week to five times a week. But it only takes hold when you continue to step in and try again. That's what we have to do. And that's how you build consistency. The last piece I want to bring in is I'm going to talk briefly about tolerations, those things that we put up with, because they are small and yet they are insidious. They can slide in underneath the surface and create disruption without us even knowing it. So tolerations, things we put up with. Several years ago, I had a client that I was coaching over the phone. And when I was on the phone with her, I could hear that there was a beeping that would happen every few minutes. And it was a smoke detector that the battery had worn out in. And after I coached with her multiple times, whenever she was at her home, I would hear this. And I finally asked her, I said, do you have a smoke detector that's like, you know, battery beeping? And she goes, oh, yeah, it's the batteries, I haven't ever replaced the battery. And I asked her, I said, would you mind, like, replacing the battery? Because I felt it, I heard it, it was a small irritation. And the next time we called, she had changed the battery. But she had gone over 4 months without changing that battery and allowing the smoke detector to beep. And what she told me was that when she finally changed it, there was so much less stress at home. And it's like, well, yeah, but that's exactly what happens with our tolerations. There are things we put up with that we don't even realize we're putting up with that are putting pressure on our situation. And when you can recognize those, then you have the option to do something about them. So look for those things that you're tolerating and then ask yourself these two questions. What is it costing me? Is it a big cost? Is it a little cost? Is it no big deal? Or is it something that is really significantly putting some pressure on me? And then you want to ask, what can I do to change that? What is it? What is it? And what is it costing me and what I can do? And with that, then you can choose, simply by having awareness quite often, clear that and remove that piece that is one of those unknown pieces that weigh on us and hold us back from claiming our destiny and our having our growth. I am Coach Christine Clark. Today we have covered, we've talked about the gap between what we know and what we do and how the stories that form our head don't always serve us and how we barely touched on, you know, working with your subconscious and what I call the inner hooligan. So hopefully these things have taken hold, that you've got a little piece that you can run with from today. I would love to hear your takeaways and what thoughts and questions, ideas that surface for you as you listen today. Send me a message at LinkedIn or Instagram or Facebook at Sunglow Transformation, or email me at fortunelifewithcoachchristine.com. I am Coach Christine Clark, the coach for your entrepreneurial life. This is Forging a Life, going beyond the curve, calling in your unique destiny. I am here every fourth Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. Pacific, at 2 p.m. Eastern. Thank you for joining me today and listening in, and look forward to our next month when we will have Coach Sean Smith, and we're going to dive into that relation, parent-child relationship as children grow and move out of the home. It's going to be hot. Until next time, keep on forging.
Thanks for tuning in to Forging a Life with Christine Clark. Remember to acknowledge your talents and skills. Your gifts are the elements needed to claim the life of your dreams. Believe you have what it takes to forge the life you want. Through intuition, trusting yourself, and the process, take action and call your life into a vibrant, beautifully lit existence.